Let's look at the somatosensory and motor areas. This is a common way to depict these two areas of the brain. You can see the motor cortex is this strip of area that crosses over the two hemispheres, and the somatosensory cortex is very close to it. This makes sense because as you have information coming in from the somatosensory cortex, like, ouch, my finger is hurting, you can have really fast response there from the motor cortex telling you to jerk your finger away from that pin. You can see how that arrangement is adaptive. Now you'll notice that this picture has a depiction of body parts, and it looks like a Salvador Dali painting or a Picasso. The motor parts are nowhere near proportional. That's because they're in the proportion to the amount of the motor cortex or the somatosensory cortex that's probably devoted to that part of the body. It has to do with how much of the sensory information, how complex the sensory information is that is coming into the somatosensory cortex, according to that part of the body, or how much of the information has to go out to the motor cortex for that part of the body. So you can see on both of the somatosensory cortex and the motor cortex, the face takes up a lot of space. There's a lot of facial information that we deal with. The lips are very large. Why would that be? Well, because we're humans, and what we do as humans is we talk. Language is very important, and language relies on these parts, the lips, the mouth, the tongue, the jaw. All of that has to do with how we form language in terms of speaking. You can also think of it in terms of what are the sensitive parts of your body. Your lips are very sensitive. You have a lot of sensory information coming in there as opposed to, say, the trunk or your knee or your elbow. These are all in proportion to how much of the somatosensory cortex is devoted to that. How complex is the information? It is the same with the motor cortex. A lot of information is going out to the lips, the tongue, and the mouth. We have to move those parts for language. The thumb and the fingers are very big. We don't have to do much movement in the trunk. The trunk moves back and forth in a couple of different ways, but not nearly as much as the motor complexity of the hands and the face. So this is often called the homunculus, the little guy who depicts the amount of neurons that are devoted to those areas.